you respond when you are annoyed. All right? Think about the last time you were annoyed. How did you deal with that frustration? Go on, person next to you, or you can discuss it, or you can think about it if you'd rather not admit to it. Anyway, how did you last respond when you were annoyed? Talk to the person next to you.
Some of you looking a bit guilty. Now, the reason why I asked that question, it's kind of struck me as looking through these resurrection appearances of Jesus, the disciples, Jesus' followers, the women who follow Jesus, it's almost like they have responded to their disappointment and anger in different ways. Now, Jesus dies, is in the grave, and the followers of Jesus are annoyed, confused, disappointed, angry, lots of these different adjectives. And different ones of them respond in different ways. So, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the people on the road to Emmaus. Okay, quick show of hands. Those of you who were angry last time, how many of you decided just to walk away? Just charity. Yeah, well, good. Because for me, that story of Emmaus, it's almost like they were hurt, they were upset, they were confused, so they just needed to escape. They just decided, I can't be in Jerusalem anymore, I'm off to Emmaus. So some of you relate to, even if it wasn't the last time, some of you relate to that feeling. You're confused, you're upset, you're angry, you just need to walk away. And the beautiful thing about that story that we saw a few weeks ago was that as they tried to run away, on that journey they encountered Jesus. Then last week we looked at Thomas. Okay, last time you were annoyed, hands up. How many of you just became a little bit cynical and negative? That anyone? A few of us admitting to that one. I'm not talking angry, I'm talking passive aggressive. That's the kind of level. Now maybe that's a bit unfair on Thomas. But when you read the passage, Thomas is almost like, well, I don't care what you saw. Unless I see him, I'm not going to believe him. Oh, well, it's all very well and good for you, but for me, things aren't quite as crispy. That kind of language of Thomas, yeah? Do we kind of relate to that a little bit? When we're angry, when we're disappointed, we get a bit passive, we get a bit cynical. Suddenly, we want to criticise other people a little bit. Yeah, do any of us relate to this? No, just me. Okay, fine. I'll take that one. The beauty of Jesus' appearance to Thomas, which I love, is that Jesus, he doesn't scold Thomas. He doesn't tell him off for his doubt. He doesn't say, who are you to be negative and pulling other... He just says, put your fingers here where the holes are in my hands. Put your fist in my side where they put the spear. Because Jesus' wounds, they allow space for our doubt. They allow space for our angst. They allow space for our aggression. They allow space for our disappointment. Jesus makes space for that. Wonderful, isn't it? No judgment. He allows us to feel those things. And then he transforms them by the power of his resurrection. Today, we're looking at this story of the disciples. Now, some of you may have experienced this. I don't know what the activity is, but some people, when they're frustrated, and I've definitely done this, they just need to go and hit something. Or does any of you do this? Like, if you've ever had a teenager live in your house, you probably, like, I know that when my mum was growing up, there was a dartboard. And so every time my uncle, in his teenage age, got angry, he was like, go and throw something at that dartboard. Because he just needed to get his aggression out. Does anyone relate to this? When you're frustrated or angry, oh, okay, just me again. It's not that you need to hit someone. There's a very different point there, and that's a different sermon entirely. No, just you need to vent your frustration out on something. Some people like to go and do some DIY, something destructive, which is my interpretation of DIY, where you just need to smash something up. You just need to get a sledgehammer. So for me, it was often I need to go for a run. I need to do some sport. I need to go and play football because I just need to get some of this aggression out. So when we read this passage, that's what I want you to think about. These disciples who are frustrated and a bit angry and feel let down by Jesus, what do they do? I just want to go fishing. I just want to go and do something. For us, it might be, I just want to go and do some gardening. I need to go to the shed. I need to hit something with a hammer. I need to go fishing. I need to do something with all of this pent-up frustration and disappointment and anger. And so the disciples go out onto the street. Why? Because they need to control something. The disciples offer us a lesson in why... Sorry, the disciples offer us a lesson in our idol of self-reliance, where things around us are not going how we want, so we just need to control it. The other day, we had some people around for breakfast. It was delightful. Really enjoyed having them around. They were fantastic, especially because a few of them stayed up afterwards to help clear up. What a joy, what a treat. Except one of them loaded the dishwasher. As many of you know, I have issues. Not with people loading the dishwasher. Issues with people loading the dishwasher incorrectly. So there is a system. If the system is not obeyed, the dishes do not come out clean. Because I myself am a little bit of a control freak. I get the sense of that in the disciples. These things around them they can't control, so I just need to go fishing. I need to go and do something that I can control. So we lads, we're going out fishing. We're going to do this with all of that anger and frustration. Which would be good, except they're rubbish at fishing. I don't really... Like, they're useless all night and they can't catch anything. And what's more, this is the second time this has happened. If we read the start of the Gospel of Luke, then they go out fishing and they fish all night and they still can't catch anything. And then we come to the end of John's Gospel and they go out fishing and they are genuinely useless at fishing. So my question to you is, when we are disappointed and angry and frustrated at God, do we keep going back to doing the things that were never fruitful in the first place? Do we think we need to go and do something ourselves? This isn't working, so I'm going to do it in my own strength. But we end up doing something that actually isn't particularly productive. I'm just going to make it work. I'm just going to make this happen. I'm just going to take control. God, you have let me down, so I am going to do it in my strength. Anyone ever felt like that? I certainly have. Times where I feel, God, you haven't come through for me, so I'm going to do it by myself. Unfortunately, when I do that, I realise very quickly that I am not cut out for doing what God has called me to do. I do not have the skills. I do not have the intellect. I do not have the abilities. Because if it is Jesus' kingdom, he is going to ask you to do things that are beyond your natural abilities. Jesus says to the disciples, he sends them out two by two. He says, go out, heal the sick, pray for those who are dead. He says, find people where they are at who are hurting and in pain, and I want you to transform their situation. Imagine if Jesus said to you, I want you to go out and pray for the sick and see them healed. How many of us can do that in our own strength? Unless you're a doctor, really. I can't do that. Jesus is asking us to do things that are beyond what we can naturally do. And so my question then to us is, when we do that, will we trust him? Will we have faith that it is his kingdom and he is going to work through us to bring those things to accomplishment? Because if you're anything like me, when you get annoyed at God, you try and do it yourself. I know I've been there. And I'm like, fine. God, if you're not going to pull through for me, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to go fishing. I never say that because I don't understand fishing. When there's football to be watched, why would you? Anyway, sitting getting wet. Anyway, literally buy them at the shop. I mean, they're not. Just get a tin of chili with it. Anyway, each into their own, I suppose. I've never thought that. But you see the analogy. I'm like, fine, I'm going fishing, God. You've let me down. I'm going to go and do it by myself. And I go off. And it doesn't take long before I realise I catch nothing. For me, working for a church is a very humbling experience. I do the meeting before the funeral with the family. And you can see the heartbreak. And then I'm the minister, so they look at me. And I think, in my own, I have got nothing. What are you looking at me for? For some hope, for some comfort, for some reconciliation. If I try and do it in my own strength, I very quickly realise I'm going to catch no fish. And Jesus comes to the disciples and he says, stop trying to do it by yourself. Put your nets on the other side of the boat and see what you will catch. In those moments where I find myself at the edge of what I can do and I think I am well out of my depth, I just quote the Bible. I just say, I don't know what the Bible says this. Jesus says this. God has promised this. Because by myself, I am going to catch no fish. But if I can listen to the voice of Jesus and put my net where he's telling me to put it, if I can listen to his voice and be obedient to him, then we catch more fish than we can possibly hold. For the resurrection appearances on the road to Emmaus, it's like they're running away. If you feel like you're running away from God, know what Jesus says to the people on Emmaus. Even though we were not aware, he was walking with us. I pray that if you are running away from God, that you would know that even though you might not be aware of it now, that you would know that God is walking with you. That you will come to be aware of Jesus walking alongside you. If you're like Thomas, and actually you get a bit cynical, you get a bit negative, you get a bit passive-aggressive, you get a bit, it's all right for those people who have a good time, but for me, I'm just bitter. I pray that you would know Jesus holding out his hands and his side and saying, come and meet me. Come and put your fingers here. Come and let my wounds hold your disappointment, your grief, your doubt, your frustration. And if, like me, you are like the disciples, who when things go badly or you're disappointed, you try and do it yourself. You go back to what you always did. They were always fishermen, even though they were rubbish at it. Going back and trying to fish and doing it in my own strength, and I'll try and plug away and I'll try and do it without praying, without asking God. If you're like that, I pray that you would hear what Jesus says from the shores of the Galilee, saying, put your nets on the other side. Listen to me. Won't you ask me about this? Won't you come to me for your strength? Won't you come to me for your direction? Won't you come to me for your wisdom? Won't you come to me for your next step? Because if you listen to the voice of Jesus, you'll find yourself pulling in far more fish than you could ever carry. And at the end of the story, there's a beautiful bit where Jesus says, bring your fish that you have caught. Which I really enjoy, because Jesus is very gracious. I mean, if I was Jesus, I'd be like, bring the fish that I caught. I mean, these guys are useless. They spend all night. They can't catch it. And Jesus says, put your net on the other side, and they catch all these fish. And then they bring, and Jesus has got the fire cooking. But Jesus is very gracious. He still says, they're your fish. Come and share your fish with me. It's a little bit like when Boaz made a Mother's Day card. I mean, it was my card. It was my pens, my time. And I did all of it. I mean, he literally just put a scribble. But he was allowed to give that to Jared. That was his gift. God's like that with us sometimes, isn't he? It's his. He created this world. The stuff in it, the breath in your lungs, that is a gift from God. But you know what Jesus still says? You can bring that as an offering to me. You're allowed to say that's yours and bring it to me. Jesus says to the disciples, come and bring the fish that you have caught. And let's share breakfast together. If you feel like running away, I hope that you know God, Jesus, is walking alongside you. I pray that you'll be aware of his presence quickly. If you feel like Thomas and a bit cynical and negative and passive aggressive, I pray that you would know a Jesus who holds out his wounds and says, fear me. My wounds are deep enough to hold your hurt. And if you are like the disciples who want to take control and do it yourself and repack that dishwasher, I pray that you would know a Jesus who says, if you listen to me, if you hear what I am calling you to do, if you will ask me for direction and guidance and wisdom and hope and answers, if you will come to me first, you will find fish more than you can carry. And then you can share breakfast with me, with the fish that you caught. Let's pray. Father, we are sorry if we have worshipped at the idol of self-reliance. We are quickly aware that we are weak in so many ways, that we cannot do it ourselves, that our determination, our self-control, our intellect, our skills, they only go so far before they let us down. We cannot save ourselves. We thank you that you are a God who hears us, that in our weakness we are made strong by the power of your Holy Spirit. We're sorry for the times we tried to do it all ourselves without consulting you first. We recognise that this is your kingdom, that you call us to things that are beyond what we are naturally capable of. We want to hear your voice telling us where to put our next down. We want to hear your voice calling us where to go next. Father, we need your wisdom and your guidance. We ask that, as we've sung this morning, you would be the centre of it all, of our lives, of our church, of our decision making, of our work life, of our families. Jesus, we want to rely on you more, because you are a God who we can trust. I pray we would know that this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.